everybody. We're back. I'm just laughing listening to the last commercial, organic gluten-free satire. I like that. I'm laughing. All right, we're also organic here at It's All About Food, and I want to bring on my last guest. I'm very happy that we were able to connect with Friedrich Mühlen. He's been documenting factory farms for almost 20 years. His main field of action are investigations and data research into the animal industry. In the course of his work, he published countless investigations in all the major media in Germany. His most prominent and well-known accomplishment so far is the 2003 investigation into Covent's life science in Münster, Germany, where he worked as an animal technician for 4.5 months. He's been working as a campaigner against foie gras and live plucking for almost a decade before he founded his own organization in early 2013, Soko Tierschutz, which has been gaining major media attention and support from people due to successful campaigns, mink oil campaign, foie gras campaign, and groundbreaking investigations. Welcome, Friedrich, to It's All About Food.
Hello.
Hello, Friedrich. I'm so happy that we were able to connect.
Yeah, and too, the connection sometimes is a little bit weak, but let's try our best.
Let's try. You are very brave.
Thank you.
Yes, so you've done factory farm investigations. Tell me, what was it like working as an animal technician for Covent's Life Science?
Yeah, this was, unfortunately, I think, a unique experience because no laboratory ever will let me into this place. But it was shocking, but fascinating too, how these people work in this absolutely isolated work of animal testing. Sometimes felt like a religious sect where they just think of some belief that animal testing works and just are absolutely isolated from everything around.
Yeah, I don't know how you could work that way and knowing how you feel and seeing what they were doing for so long. Very brave.
It's very hard because if you see a macaque monkey being restrained on the ground and the animal is shouting and struggling and bleeding from pierced wounds in the arm, it's unbelievable.
So tell me, what's going on with factory farms in Germany today?
Yeah, Germany is still one of the big countries in the world regarding factory farming. We sometimes even have even bigger farms than the U.S. But there's a lot of progress because there's not only a lot of undercover investigations like from our group, but a lot of normal people are waking up, changing their kind of how they're eating, how they're living, kind of just a big protest of normal people, and that's a big progress.
What is a mink oil campaign?
Yeah, that was I was questioning the same when I heard the word. I was working for so many years in animal rights, and I knew what. I found out that the dead corpses from the minks from still used.
Oh,
so
Friedrich, you're kind of coming in and out, so...
Oh, that's...
Yeah, so keep going.
From the fur farms, the oil is used for cosmetics.
Oh.
And we expose this, that the people that maybe never will buy a mink coat are putting this stuff into the hair. And this was a big expose that resulted in stopping the sale of mink oil in all German retailers.
I did not know that mink oil was used in cosmetics and hair products. Does it say it in the list of ingredients, or is it called something else?
It's called Mustela oil, for example, from the Latin name of the mink.
Mm.
And if you see Mustela oil, it sounds like a nut or something.
Yeah.
The fat from a skinned bloody mink.
Now, is this a byproduct from the fur industry?
It's a byproduct. People always say byproducts are something like waste that doesn't matter. But the money, the mink industry, especially the United States, it mean with mink oil? It's relevant. And it's in hard times, where the fur industry is in hard times, this profit they make with mink oil can be really relevant for the survival.
Okay, so what did your mink oil campaign consist of?
It's pretty easy. Like the most work of SoCo Tierschutz, which means SoCo Animal Welfare, but actually we are an animal rights group. And we just inform the people. We look for targets that are new, for topics that are fresh, sometimes ignored by all the other animal groups. Many decades. And then we just give it to the media, and we talk with and in the most cases, like with mink oil, it's pretty quickly to solve it.
Wow. So the media is friendly to your information?
Yeah, that changed in the last years. 20 years ago, there were about 4 TV reports on animal issues a year. Now, SoCo Tierschutz alone has about 40 TV reports a year in Germany. And so they are not friendly, but they are very interested. And if we give really good facts, they make good reports.
Great. And what about foie gras? I know here in the United States, we had 2 companies that were making foie gras. And we had a big anti-foie gras campaign a few years ago to change some regulations. Is foie gras made in Germany?
No, it was made many, many decades ago, but it's already banned for about 20 years, like it's banned in the most countries of the European Union. But unfortunately, we have France, Hungary, Bulgaria, and Spain, and these are the foie gras producers in the world.
So you import foie gras?
Yeah, it's a typical German thing. You're not allowed to do it in the own country, but you can just buy it from abroad. It's quite a strange behavior.
Well, that's the human way, I think. We always look for ways around to get what we want.
Yeah, we have the problem. At the moment, we have one of our longest import. We have nearly 30 days of info table nonstop, and all the people are harm next by. Everybody's saying.
Okay, Friedrich, I'm going to ask you to repeat everything you just said because I didn't hear it.
Yeah, obviously the German the internet is really bad.
Well, maybe it's our side, or maybe it's the weather. But just start again.
It's the internet. Yeah, I just was saying that the most people create some kind of comfort zone in their brain, the eggs or the milk from a nice source, from a family farmer, from the butcher next door. This is the same like with other problems. The people just make it themselves comfortable and ignore the truth.
Oh, yeah, ignoring the truth. Well, all right. So we've got mink oil. We have foie gras. Are people in Germany eating more meat or less meat these days? Germans have always been big meat eaters like Americans.
Yeah, I know this from my past because my father was a meat trader and was a really important thing in my life until I got 13 and got vegan. The meat consumption is increasing. This is already a big landmark, and this makes the industry really panicking at the moment.
Yep. It's good. So it's not increasing. That's good.
It's decreasing.
And what is...
If I now look... Yeah?
Well, how did your father feel about your becoming a vegan?
He was quite open to it, surprisingly, because he really knew what's going on in the meat business. He knew about all this dirty stuff going on. And so he said, okay, if this is your decision, I will support it. And he bought me my first night vision device with 14.
Nice. Now, is the raising of animals for food here in the United States is devastating on the environment for many different reasons. We've got piles of manure that aren't treated properly. we're using a lot of water, and the fertilizers and pesticides and herbicides going into the water are affecting the quality of our water. There's a lot of bad things about animal agriculture. Is it the same where you are?
I would say it's the same, not that drastic sometimes. I had been in the U.S. and I've seen how the people, for example, deal with corpses of animals, just dumping them behind the farms or whatever. This is not that easy in Germany, especially because it's a small country compared with the U.S. In the whole, it's the same. Our water is spoiled. Our air is dirty because of all these gases from the farms. And yeah, we have the same problems. But fortunately, the political way of dealing with it are far more progressed than in the U.S., I think.
Yeah, I see that all the time. And I'm excited when I see things that are happening in Europe banning certain things that I don't believe in, and then disappointed when I see something get pushed through that shouldn't be allowed. But the European community is definitely a leader in environmental regulation and animal welfare regulation.
Yes and no. If I look at, for example, all these factory farms at the foie gras production, the black hole of animal testing where no regulations at all are ruling this dirty business. The European Union for sure has good sides, but it's at the end a lot of lobbyist groups are manipulating the politicians here and paying a lot of money that everything is getting like it got in the last years.
Okay, let's talk about animal testing. I know that the European Union passed a law, I think it was last year, where animal testing wasn't allowed anymore on cosmetics. And
The cosmetic stuff was done, yeah.
Is that happening, or are people getting around it?
Yeah, anyway, it has to be said that animal testing for cosmetics are a really, really small part of the whole animal testing industry. So it's just sometimes a tactic we see that they ban something really small just to get rid of all the protesters. And of course, companies can go to abroad out of the European Union to countries of Eastern Europe or Russia or Asia and do the business there. And it's really, really difficult to control this. In the whole European Union, there are only 5 or 10 people for controls of farms, for example. This is ridiculous.
So the big animal testing today is for drugs, pharmaceuticals.
Yes, pharmaceutical, chemical, biochemical industry. This is a big business. There are even more tests for cigarettes than for cosmetics.
So. Oh, really? Oh, goodness. I've seen some public service ads showing animals smoking to show how ridiculous it is to test smoking on animals. We know it's bad for them and us. They don't want to smoke.
Yeah, of course. They don't. Beagles don't want to smoke. Monkeys don't want to smoke. But actually, it's not the cigarette industry doing the tests. It's the pharmaceutical and the government health industry, again, that are trying to solve all the problems created by smoking. And so even if you smoke one of these alternative brands, it doesn't prevent the huge animal testing, because the huge animal testing is done by only one reason, because smoking creates cancer. And a lot of companies are looking for getting money by creating this, helping to solve the cancer problem created by smoking.
Oh, so I imagine the new e-cigarettes are probably being tested on animals.
I'm quite sure, because there are a lot of chemical substances inside. And here again, not only the cigarette industry is doing this, or the industry by the e-cigarettes, but only the government facilities, toxicity testing. Everything has to be tested if it's dangerous or not. And we have this huge REACH program in the European Union, testing all chemicals again. It's killing millions of animals.
All right, let's lighten up in the last few minutes and tell me about the wonderful foods you have in Germany that are vegan and the vegan products that are coming out, clothing and shoes. What have you got going on there?
Yeah, I'm really proud, honestly, on Germany in this aspect, because we have some of the world leaders of vegan meat substitutes. We just had a big action on a festival promoting vegan barbecue stuff, and it was so amazing that meat eaters came there and said, oh, that's fantastic, and some of the people converted. I don't want to use this word, but it's just... immediately and saying, I don't want to eat meat anymore if the substitutes are so tasty. And the same is happening with yogurt. We have a really good new cheese now. Mm. And this makes the biggest breakthrough because we're winning this conflict. Of course, with the media, with exposes, but at the end, we're winning this conflict on the table.
Is there a vegan white sausage?
There's a vegan white sausage, and actually it's quite good. I still can remember from my childhood how all these Bavarian typical sausages taste, and so there's one. And the great thing is that veganism is now a really, really great issue in Germany. There, if you go to a bookstore, the first thing you see is a pyramid of vegan cookbooks.
Wow.
And 20 years back, this was something like a dream. I would never think that will happen.
Yeah, well, I lived in Europe in the early 90s. I lived in the south of France, and I traveled to Munich quite often. And I was appreciative of a number of things. One is you have the great reform houses where I could get my soy milk and my vegetarian products. And I found in the restaurants, it seemed easier there than in other European countries to explain to people what I wanted to eat and to eat vegan.
Yeah, sometimes you still get a really strange face from the people. But if I compare it, 20 years ago, the people thought if I say I'm vegan, they thought I have some kind of sickness or whatever.
Yeah, right.
And today they say, oh, you're vegan. We have some options available. Or the people say, oh, I'm vegan too. This is happening today. And so I'm optimistic. I think if we go on with frequently showing the truth and advertising for good alternatives, how rich vegan diet is, and what a great stuff for the nature and for your own body, then we will succeed. And even this multi-billion industry has no chance at all. I'm more optimistic than ever.
Oh, I love that. And I believe in it too. Friedrich, thank you for joining me on It's All About Food. I look forward to visiting Germany and trying some white vegan sausage very soon.
You're welcome. I'm only 50 kilometers from Oktoberfest.
Oh, great. And vegan beer.
This is difficult because of gelatin, and it's cleared with gelatin, but
there are some
vegan alcohol too.
Yeah, there are some. Okay, thank you, and be brave. Keep continuing doing what you're doing. I love it.
You're welcome. Sorry for the bad connection.
Yeah, well, I understand you, and that's good. All right, tschüss. Okay, that's the end of this program. I'm Karen Hartglass. You've been listening to It's All About Food. And don't forget my nonprofit, ResponsibleEatingAndLiving.com. We need your visits. We need to hear from you at info@realmeals.org. And if you haven't seen The Lone Vegan Preaching to the Fire yet, what are you waiting for? It's my 70-minute documentary, and watch it, okay? And have a delicious week.